You are listening to the ArenaFan.com podcast, coming to you from Radio Row at the Waterbury Ballroom at the Sheraton New Orleans Hotel, the headquarters hotel of Arena Bowl 21.
Welcome back to Radio Row for Arena Fan Online. Joining me now is wide receiver for the Georgia Force, Chris Jackson. Chris, thanks for joining me today.
Pleasure.
Chris, can you talk about how you got started your career on the Arena Football League?
I started, I think, a majority like everybody, trying to battle in and out the NFL. And as the NFL doesn't work out, you start getting these random phone calls about this league called the AFL. And it's a league that, not so much as much more now as it was back in the day, but back in 2000, everyone says arena football, I'll never play arena football. You know, that's a minor league of the NFL. But, you know, once you kind of adapt to it, kind of watch it, learn a little bit about it, learn the history of it, and you play one game and you're stuck, you know. And I don't think that changes people's aspirations as far as getting back to the NFL, because I know it didn't change mine. But, you know, it was just such a wonderful game to play, and the more you got adapted to it in the years I played, I mean, this is me. I'll never go back to the NFL. I'm an arena football player for life, and it's just, you know, been a blessing for me and my family to be a part of this game.
Now, you started your career off in 2000 in Los Angeles, and you've bounced around a couple different places since then, in Grand Rapids and Georgia. Can you talk about differences between the places and the atmosphere you're in now in Georgia?
There's a big change. I know as the league's kind of changed, you know, certain statuses had to be picked up as far as living arrangements and as far as meals and food. And L.A. treated you at the time. I think L.A. was one of the better teams in the market that treated their players, put them on the beach and, you know, had a great lifestyle out there. You know, Grand Rapids was a different type place. I'm not a snowbird. I'm not used to snow being on the ground. So there was no winning there. But Georgia, in this new era, I don't think maybe a team like Philadelphia might get treated just as good. But other than that, I think Arthur Blank put us in the best position as far as living arrangements and, you know, as far as hot meals in the morning and the afternoon, and just put us in a position to practice at the Atlanta Falcons facility, which I don't think a lot of people have the potential to play and practice like we do, you know, and it just puts us in a good situation. And I think our record over the last 3 years shows that.
Now, in the 2005 season, you were traded midseason from Grand Rapids into Georgia. What was it like joining a team midseason like that?
You ever seen Bruce Almighty when he became God? Like, oh! It was like it was a godsend. We, just weren't very happy in Grand Rapids. So when that trade finally went through, it was like an hour right before the trade deadline. And it was a team that I was trying to get to initially in free agency anyway, and it worked out, you know, perfectly. It was perfect timing. My family got it well adjusted there. We put our kids in school, and, you know, it was just the success that they were having with Matt Nagy, Troy Bergeron, and Derek Lee at the time. I just wanted to come in. I didn't want to over-nurture them. I didn't want to come in like the guru. I just wanted to be a part of a team. And, you know, I just kind of humbled myself. I kept quiet. If people asked me questions, I answered them, but I didn't come like I was almighty, you know, and I just wanted to come play and win. And, you know, I just, you know, was just another teammate. And I think once they saw that, you know, there was a lot of hype with the name when I came, and I think a lot of people were standoffish to me. But I think once they got to know me and realized that I just want to win just as bad as them, that's what it comes down to. I think we meshed, and, you know, some of my best friends are on the Georgia Force team right now, and it's just been a blessing to play for them.
Now, you mentioned Troy Bergeron. Now, understandably, that season he was the team's offensive specialist, and you primarily being in that role yourself. Was there ever a fear that maybe the team would not sort of mesh together with essentially two offensive specialists in day what was still Iron Man football?
At the time, no. I don't think they didn't discuss anything with Troy. I know he knew the trade was coming, but what they did is pull me aside prior to coming and just kind of told me how it was going to work, you know, that I was going to be treated just like an offensive specialist, but I was going to have to play two-way. Troy never played two ways. I played two-way, you know, for my first 2 years, and in Grand Rapids I ended up having to do it as well. So I didn't have a problem with, you know, playing the linebacker position or playing special teams. And, you know, I just wanted to help wherever I could help, you know. And, you know, Troy was able to keep his OS, you know, position title, you know, which kept him happy. And, you know, I didn't step on toes that way. It was a good mesh. You know, once me, Derek, and Troy, the substitution, we were able to work that out. Every once in a while, I might miss a series or Troy might miss a series. But, you know, and no one was happy with that. But, you know, it was the best for the team. And I think once we saw that and, you know, everything worked out, there wasn't very many problems at all. And I don't think there was any harsh feelings.
Now, what's the difference now versus when you were initially traded to Georgia? Now, if there's free substitution and you don't have to worry about missing a series here or there, how has that affected the Force?
I think it put us in a good position. I don't think we had to worry about substitution. We didn't have to worry about, you know, who's playing the linebacker position now. That's a position already taken care of, so we're all fresh. All three of us were fresh for most of the year. Well, a couple of us were banged up, but, you know, that's football. But it just put us in a position to just be comfortable, to go out there. We had our positions. Nothing was going to change. We had our plays, our set plays called for each position, and, you know, we had our role in this offense, and I think that's what was once we figured out what those roles were, I think we were able just to roll with that. You know, I think Derek was used to more of a bigger role at the time, but, you know, the year, I don't think anyone guessed Troy having the year he did, and I don't think anyone guessed the year that I had. You know, I've had big years in the past, but to catch 1,900 yards with another receiver catching 1,700 is unheard of in this game. You know, two of us catching 40 touchdowns, you know, it's tough enough to have one receiver catch 40, but to have two, it just says a lot about our offense coordinator, Stevie Tunn, and just says a lot about, you know, the pickup of Grison coming in and just how comfortable and just the chemistry that we have.
Now, speaking of Chris Grison, obviously he breaks the all-time passing touchdown record this year, and you have an offense that cracks 1,000 points, something that had never been done in AFL history before. How much of that do you think has to do with the new rule changes, and how much of it do you think has more along the lines to do with, like you said before, everyone is just in that defined role?
I think it has a little bit to do with both. I think what I would lean more toward is the rule change has affected the offense more so in just putting quality offensive linemen out there. Now you don't have two-way, you know, you don't have a defensive lineman playing offense for the second half of a quarter, you know, to where you need to change your play calling, you know, just to keep your quarterback on his toes. So I think you're able to have true offensive linemen out there that, you know, that can protect your quarterback. You can take more chances. You can run more five-step compared to three-step. So, you know, I think that part of it has changed this game a little bit. You know, I think, you know, you're able to keep a quarterback dry, keep him off the ground, and keep him upright, being able to throw downfield and throw touchdowns. And I think, you know, you look at, I think, Dallas, San Jose, and I think all of us, you know, broke that record that had never been broke before. So I just, you look at those teams, you know, the quarterbacks, they stay on their feet, they're well protected, and I think that goes to show what free agency and the rule change has done.
Now, you've played with some of the greatest quarterbacks this league has ever seen. You go to the Arena Bowl a couple years ago with Matt Nagy as your quarterback. You've also played with Tony Graziani and now Chris Grison, who again broke the touchdown record. What was the difference this year specifically with Chris Grison versus those other quarterbacks and those other teams that you were on that were great offensive teams to put up so many points this season?
One of the biggest difference is, you know, when Tony came in, I had, I think, a year under my belt when Graziani had came into L.A., and we kind of had to figure it out ourselves. You know, yeah, we had an offense coordinator and we went through a couple coaches, so we were in the midst of trying to figure it all out ourselves. And we end up building over, you know, a four-year period some great chemistry and put up some great numbers. But you compare that to Chris Grison, who was able to be a backup in the NFL, like Graziani, but he was also able to back up for 2 years one of the better coaches and players in the game in Clint Dozell. So he already had the mindset and already knew the game kind of like mentally. So to have him come in, he just had to kind of find the chemistry himself. He already had the brain. He just needed to put the physical aspect to it. So he was a step ahead, I think, of Graziani and some other quarterbacks that, you know, tried to adjust to the game for the first time.
Now, we mentioned Matt Nagy earlier before. Obviously, he's playing in the big game this weekend between Columbus and San Jose. You've had a good look at Columbus this season, having played them three times. You also played San Jose earlier this season. Who do you like in this weekend's game and why?
I like both teams. I think what it's going to come down to is I'm going to give a pick. I'm going to give a pick, but bear with me. I think what Columbus does is they're able to make somebody play their type football. They're going to keep them guessing. They're going to get a couple turnovers, and that's what they've done these last two playoff games. But San Jose, I think one of their strong points is protecting the ball, protecting Grebe and being smart with it and playing just, you know, outstanding defense with two of the great DBs, you know, in Omar Smith and Cleavon Thomas. So my pick, I think the Cinderella run is over. I think San Jose is just I think too much. I think even when they do make mistakes, their chemistry and they've been together for so long, the group that they have, it's, you know, they've been loyal to their players and their players have just wanted to play for this winning organization. And I think that's going to pay off this week.
Okay. I'd like to thank my guest, Chris Jackson, and I'd like you to stay tuned for future Arena Fan podcasts.
Georgia Force.
Thank you for listening to this ArenaFan.com podcast coming to you from Radio Row at Arena Bowl 21. Arena Bowl Radio Row is brought to you by Voodoo Barbecue and Grill.